Hello, I'm Ken DeLuke, and welcome to the Turning Point Podcast, the bi-weekly program that features interesting people from all walks of life, addresses the concerns and events from the movers and shakers in your community, and provides a forum for you, the listener, to ask questions and share what keeps you up at night. To ask a question, please leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174. That's 312-866-7174, or leave an email at theturningpointpodcast.com. That's theturningpointpodcast.com. Now, your host is Mohammed Fahim, a candidate for the United States U.S. House Representatives. Mr. Fahim.
Thank you for the introduction, Ken. And if you could please introduce our guest for tonight.
Now, tonight's guest will be Asif Youssef. He is a longtime resident in Chicago. He's a 40-year resident of one of my favorite suburbs, Oak Brook, Illinois. And he's finishing the fourth four-year term as village trustee. Now, he's been, to many of his credits, 9 years servicing on the County Stormwater Committee, 3 years service at the Page Mayors and Managers Conference and Legislative Affairs Committee. He served on the Illinois Tollway Central Corridor Planning Committee and served in the Illinois State Banking Board. He is currently a licensed real estate broker, insurance producer, and he's actually running for the next seat for the mayor of Oak Brook. It is my pleasure to introduce to you, Mr. Asif Youssef. Thanks, Mohammed, and take it over.
Thank you, Ken, and welcome, Asif, to the Turning Point Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's a pleasure to be here with you, at least in the cyber world.
Well,
have an opportunity to speak with you about my candidacy and my involvement in the community and things that are important to me.
Wonderful. Before we get into the weeds on that, tell me a little bit about who Asif Youssef is.
Well, as Ken said, I was born in Chicago. My parents are immigrants from Pakistan. Came here for opportunity. My dad came here as a student and did his paperwork the right way, according to the rules. And him and my mom settled here. When my father finished his master's degree from Purdue, he had $10 in his pocket. He couldn't afford the cap and gown. He worked his way through and he hitchhiked to Chicago and got a job. And here we are today.
Okay. So how was your childhood growing up? What school did you go to?
Went to preschool in the city near Michael Reese Hospital. When I was four, my parents moved to unincorporated Roselle. Went to Bloomingdale Central and then the Dujardin Elementary School, both public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And starting in fifth grade, I was fortunate enough to attend the Avery Coonley School in Downers Grove, which is a private school. And then 4 years of high school at Downers Grove South and 4 years of college at the University of Illinois, Chicago.
One of the things that I am very passionate about, Asif, is the state of education in our country today. And my feeling on that, and I know if I'm wrong, correct me, is our education is not really geared towards the skills that are needed by the employers of today and tomorrow. What do you say to that?
You know, I don't know if I'd agree with you on that. I think to some extent they are. But at the same time, kids today learn a lot of the technology-related skills from the minute they play a video game and the minute they get a phone. There's so much software that you can learn to use on a phone or an iPad today, well before they even start school.
Mm-hmm.
I think education is bloated by too much administration and not enough teaching.
That's exactly where I was going, because most of the I don't know why why there even is something like a PhD in education. Okay. Having been in workforce and economic development myself for the last like 16, 17 years now, I see employers constantly fighting to find a qualified candidate who has the skills for their job that they learned in school, and doesn't seem to be happening.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it's number one, finding people, and some of these subspecialties are so specific that there's just not a big pool out there. And number two, I just don't think we have the commitment to hard work that the prior generation had. My generation, and certainly not the generation before me, I'm 60 years old. Subsequently, you have a lot of people switching jobs. You don't have this concept of a career at one place, mm-hmm. as you did previously. And that's partially the employee's mindset, and it's partially the employer's not fostering an environment where you're welcome in the long term. Corporate greed makes changes and switchovers very common, and that commitment to being somewhere long term and an investment in the skills needed for people to do the job, especially as those skill sets required keep evolving,
right,
can only be fostered by creating an environment on both sides that nurtures a long-term relationship.
Well, you know, there's been some studies that I have been reading and been part of also, that by the time a college graduate of today reaches retirement age, quote unquote, like in the 60s, 65, somewhere around there, they would have gone through six different careers, not jobs, because the skills keep on changing and evolving, like you just said. And for some reason, there's a definite disconnect in our education system and the skills required by the employers. And I've seen that constantly. That's why you see these people coming out with a 4-year college degree and no job at the end. And, you know, $100,000 to $150,000 in student debt. Now, can we put a Band-Aid on that the president wants to do by what he is proposing to cancel student debt? What do you think of that, by the way?
You know, my idea on student debt is number one, college education has gotten ridiculously expensive. And I say that as somebody who attended college many, many years ago. Gosh, it's been over 40 years since I started. And somebody who much more recently put three and is in the process of putting a fourth child through college right now. When I went to UIC, there were three quarters in the year, and the whole thing, including insurance, parking, all in, was $1,080 a year.
Wow.
And that was affordable, and you could get through working part-time with no debt and really little or no burden on your parents. And today it's gone crazy. So yep. My view on student debt is I think you have to incentivize performance. I think somebody finishes college, they go to work, they pay taxes, they get an extra credit, which is based on the taxes that they pay, the federal income tax, of let's say $2,000 or $2,500 a year, provided they work and earn wages to pay that much in tax. And that's above and beyond everything else. And every year that goes to whittling down your student loan completely, but it's going to sure ease the pain.
That is an excellent idea. And three kids gone through college, fourth one about to go through. What are your children
fourth one
into?
About to finish.
Oh, about to finish. What are your kids doing in college or have done in college?
My oldest son, Zane, got a finance degree from DePaul. And then he went at night to Booth, which is the University of Chicago's business school, and he got his MBA.
Uh-huh.
The first of my daughters got a degree in informatics and psychology. And my advice to her at the time when she was really interested in psychology is make sure and get something practical along with it. Mm-hmm. And it was an excellent combination, and she's working in IT. My other daughter studied fashion merchandising and marketing, and she works in the fashion industry. However, she's going to be taking some time off starting in the next week or so, and she's going to be going to Italy for her master's degree in fashion business.
Okay, and the last son that is finishing up now, what is he into?
He's getting a degree in geography with a minor in geology.
Oh, wonderful. My bachelor's was actually in geology. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, love that subject. I think we are coming up to the first break. Let's take a short break and continue this conversation after the break. Okay?
Sounds good.
You are listening to the Turning Point Podcast. If you would like to send us an email, theturningpointpodcast.com, please. And by the way, folks, this is your podcast. If you know anybody who is an interesting character, and it doesn't have to be political, doesn't have to be any particular genre whatsoever, but it's somebody that you know people would like to hear from, please send me their information. Okay, and we would love to make them part of our program. So leave a email at theturningpointpodcast.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174. And we do have to pay the bills, so hang on for some words from our sponsors.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So please stop by and catch our programming, as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
Hey folks, many of you have heard in the news recently that Congress has passed, and the President has signed, a bill that provides substantial funds for green energy. You may ask, how does that affect me? Well, the average homeowner, now if your home qualifies, could have a complete solar power system installed on your home at no upfront cost. Having solar on your roof and not drawing power from the grid could save you as much as 50% of what you are currently paying on your current electric bill. Not only that, but you'd be protected from the excessive electric company rate increases that are expected in the near future. If you are interested to see if you qualify, please call me at 312-617-8979, 312-617-8979, and leave a message or shoot me an email at ken.deluke, that's D-E-L-U-C, at sunrun.com. I'll try to help you take advantage of this great opportunity. Hi, I'm Ken DeLuke, and welcome back to the Turning Point Podcast, the biweekly program that features really interesting people from all walks of life, addresses the concerns and events from the movers and shakers in your community, and provides a forum for you, and this is important, the listener, to ask questions and share what keeps you up at night. And by the way, we are going to ask that question to our guest right now, Asif Youssef. It's going to be part of the deal that he has to tell us what keeps him up at night. Now, Asif, I do have a question. This is more topical, and I know this U.S. House subcommittee on the January 6th hearings just put forth 4 recommendations of indictment for our former president, Donald J. Trump. And I'd like to get your take on how that's going, what your thoughts are.
Well, yes, it's certainly a historic time we're living in right now. First off, I'd like to say that nobody is exempt from being subject to our laws and our criminal justice system. My hope is that the committee did its work in a fair, nonpartisan, and objective manner. And if the Justice Department acts on these recommendations, Donald Trump will get his day in court to share his side of it. And the prosecutors will share their side, and it'll go through a process. And if wrongdoing has been committed, it must be sanctioned appropriately. But I do believe people are innocent until proven guilty. It's a cornerstone of how America works. And what happened that day, January 6th, was terrible. There are a lot of things that probably could have and should have been done differently to avoid things getting to the point that they did. But all we can do now is look back and determine who's responsible and hold them accountable and ensure that something like this never occur again.
Nassif, my understanding is that this is the first time in the history of our country that a president or a former president has been quote-unquote indicted like this. But it seems that there's really nothing that can be done in the long run, either by the Congress or even by the Department of Justice. So are we wasting the taxpayers' dollar by chasing Donald Trump like this?
Well, we have to do what we can to bring closure to this matter. It's still a raw wound in our nation. And I'll tell you, and some people may take exception with this, I think the run-up to this is since spring and early summer of 2020, in many major cities, we saw a complete breakdown in the system of law and order. We saw the police not being able to do their job, having their hands tied. We saw restrictions on the deployment and use of force in circumstances where that force was justified. We had a situation like we had in Portland, where you just basically had an area that was outside the scope of the law. You had a no man's land. And all this fostered a disrespect for the rule of law. Now, a lot of those events were done by extremists on the far left. This event was done by extremists on the far right. But the mindset was created when we started failing to act to stop these lapses in the system. And Chicago is one of the worst examples. What happened in Chicago with the looting and rioting and not allowing the police to step in and stop it was a travesty of justice. Sadly, that travesty continues today with the failure of with the lack of a viable criminal justice system in Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel the effects of that here in DuPage spilling over.
Okay, sounds good. So let me switch gears a little bit and talk about Oak Brook. What do you think are the current challenges?
Well, the current challenges are always going to be, the current challenges we're facing is how to manage growth, how to manage responsible growth, what type of development to allow, what type not to allow. Financially, we're doing okay. The pension issues there, unfortunately, the public safety pensions are really an issue dictated by state statute. And I'm not against somebody earning a pension. The system's in place. The law calls for it. What's happened is, and this is partially due to all the wonderful people in the medical field, people are living longer. So the impact of working 30 years as a fireman or policeman and drawing a pension, which is 75% of your salary, is much different today than it was 10 or 20 years ago. The economics of it have changed. And not only have the economics changed, but somebody coming on the job at 25, retiring at 55, because people are living longer and many of those years are healthy years, they are more likely to be able to have a second career.
Okay.
So in that vein, there have to be some economic adjustment made to keep the system viable. Right now, Springfield is lacking that political will. That financial challenge by this is probably the biggest challenge to our village that we're limited in our ability to solve.
Okay. How about the municipal retirement system that the villages have? How do you propose to handle that bear now?
That package of benefits and the contributions we're making is a lot more viable. We're in good shape with them. We're pretty well funded. Our contribution rate is reasonable. I think we're at around 12%. So I'm not that worried about the IMRF.
Okay.
The public safety pensions have some sweeteners in there that are somewhat ambiguous, and the interpretation is usually the one that's worse for the community.
Okay, how is the current credit rating of Oak Brook, if you don't mind me asking that?
I don't mind. It's public information. Oak Brook's credit rating is excellent. We essentially have one note, and that is related to a TIF, and the village has, which is a tax increment financing district, the village has no residual liability when that term is up. We lease some equipment, and we have no other debt.
Okay. Speaking of TIFs and economic challenges, what do you think was the impact, if any, of McDonald's moving out of Oak Brook? How did the village handle it? And what kind of plans would you want to put in place for that space? I know that there's been some development there, but still there's some space there.
Yes. The impact of McDonald's moving was, number one, having McDonald's here was clearly a source of prestige. It was a source of economic activity. You had about 3,000 people working there. You had people coming to visit, staying in local hotels. You had people going out, entertaining other people. You had a lot of restaurant business. And naturally, when you're there in a town with a world-class shopping venue, people tend to go over there and spend some money generating some tax revenue for us. The village does not levy a property tax for running village operations.
Mm-hmm.
So if the McDonald's site were bare ground, it would not directly affect village finances in any way. And McDonald's, frankly, did not generate a lot of sales tax on site. A little bit from a hotel and restaurant on the facility and some other things, but the main impact was the economic activity. Now, McDonald's had two significant sites, one on Jory Boulevard and one on 22nd Street. The one on 22nd is well along the way to being developed. It has a residential as well as a commercial component. I just went to the opening of a new restaurant, Alter Brewery, which is on site. In addition to Fogo de Chao, we have a jewelry store coming in, I believe Diamonds Direct. There are plans for a hotel, an office building, a condominium building. There's currently a really high-end apartment building, 250-unit apartment building on the site. And that's moving right along.
Now, hasn't 22nd Street had some traffic challenges and all of that in the past? How is that being addressed with all this development happening?
22nd Street had traffic challenges over the years. We worked very closely with IDOT, and there were two bottlenecks on 22nd Street that have both been expanded from 2 to 3 lanes each way. So currently we get a little bit of a backup at the light at 22nd and 83. During peak times, but it is nowhere near the gridlock it used to be.
Folks, our guest today is Asif Yusuf, long-term trustee of the village of Oak Brook, long-term resident of Oak Brook, born in the Chicagoland area, and now running for mayor in the open seat that is going to be coming up in April of 2023. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. And by the way, I've been a big fan of Oak Brook since I was 10 years old and going to the Butler Polo Grounds and watching the horses play polo. It's an amazing town. If you haven't been there and you live in Chicagoland, by all means, check it out. They got great shopping centers. It's a wonderful place to hang out. So anyways, if you have a question or have an idea for someone to be on our future podcast, leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174, or you can get us online anytime at theturningpointpodcast.com.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So please stop by and catch our programming, as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
Hey folks, many of you have heard in the news recently that Congress has passed and the President has signed a bill that provides substantial funds for green energy. You may ask, how does that affect me? Well, the average homeowner, now if your home qualifies, could have a complete solar power system installed on your home at no upfront cost. Having solar on your roof and not drawing power from the grid could save you as much as 50% of what you are currently paying on your current electric bill. Not only that, but you'd be protected from the excessive electric company rate increases that are expected in the near future. If you are interested to see if you qualify, please call me at 312-617-8979, 312-617-8979, and leave a message or shoot me an email at ken.deluc, that's D-E-L-U-C, at sunrun.com. I'll try to help you take advantage of this great opportunity. Hi, I'm Ken Deluc, and welcome back to theturningpointpodcast.com. Again, if you want to ask a question or give a suggestion, the number is 312-866-7174. And you can always get us online at theturningpointpodcast.com. Tonight's guest, Asif Yusuf, he is the candidate for mayor of Oak Brook and probably the front runner. He's going to have that position. So he's a great person to get to know. And I love Oak Brook. Nordstrom, if I'm going to buy clothes, my wife totally says you got to go to Oak Brook, and we go to Nordstrom's and whatever. But I mean, it's a great economic place if you haven't been there, to check it out. And I'm really happy to introduce Asif Yusuf. Mohammed, take it away.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you, Asif, for staying with us in this turning point of your life. Speaking of turning point, before we come to that part, some of the challenges that you and I have been discussing as far as the revenues of Oak Brook are concerned. Where does the major part of the revenue come from?
Sales tax. The vast majority of our income in our general fund is from sales tax. We have a water fund, which is a separate enterprise fund that can only be used for water-related expenses. And we have a separate enterprise fund for the sports corps. But in terms of general revenue for the nuts and bolts village operations, police, fire, library, administration, the vast majority of our revenue is our portion of the sales tax.
Okay. Speaking of that, now Oak Brook is in DuPage County, right? Is any part of Oak Brook in Cook at all?
Yes, there's a small residential area that falls within Cook County.
And how about residential and taxes for homes. How does the Oak Brook compare with the neighbors?
Well, because there's no village tax levy, our tax rates compare very favorably to other communities in the area. Now, that varies from school district to school district, because Oak Brook is served by 5 elementary and 4 high school districts. So the district I'm in, which is Butler 53 and Hinsdale 86, I believe has the most favorable tax rate out of all of them. But they all compare very well with other communities.
Okay, sounds good. Now comes the tough choice that more and more villages are facing with the growth of the internet and everything getting delivered to the house. How do you think that is going to impact the future of Oak Brook?
Well, I think we have to be creative, and we have to work with the management of our retail centers, specifically the Oak Brook Mall is the key one, to encourage them to attract a mix of businesses that make the mall a destination for a well-rounded experience, whether that's dining, entertainment, as well as shopping. That's the only way you're going to drive traffic, because it is very easy to sit at home, click on a button, and have what you want delivered at a very competitive price. But the online vendors can't deliver fun. They can deliver product. The mall can deliver fun. They have a movie night. They've got a big grassy area there. We have a lot of wonderful restaurants. And I'll tell you, I don't care what you order. It doesn't taste as good when it's delivered as opposed to when it's fresh out of the kitchen.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the term destination shopping, because I see more and more villages which have malls trying to get into the destination shopping mode, to where people can really come and have a fun evening with the family. And of course, online deliveries can't really match the fun part of it. Speaking of that, we are in our final segment, and I want to come back to where we started off with. What was the turning point in your life when one day you said, hey, I am Asif Yusuf, I am doing this, this is what I went to college for, but how about I go into public service? What was that turning point? What brought you into public service?
I got involved on the periphery in our local government. I was appointed as a deputy registrar, probably 35 years ago or so. Wanted people to get involved, participate. And I felt that if I want to encourage others to get involved, I have to enhance my level of involvement. I'm trying to think of a specific event.
Okay.
That triggered it. I came to the realization that we're blessed to live in a democracy, and there is no excuse for not fully taking advantage of the rights afforded to us under a system of democracy. Sometime in the 80s, maybe, and sought to get more involved.
So it wasn't like, one day your wife said, I said, go and do something. You're wasting too much time at home now in the evenings.
No, I was working pretty hard. Time was not an issue. I would say when my father passed away in 1992, I kind of developed a commitment to want to do something to make him proud, to make my mark. And it's not about running and getting elected to office. It's about being able to do a good job. So when you are done and you leave, people have a positive impression of you.
Well, speaking of that now, what is the current makeup of the city council, and how do you see that changing after the April elections? And when you do get elected as mayor, how's that going to impact your administration?
Well, we currently have a village president and 6 trustees. that are elected on staggered terms. And it's a nonpartisan election, so nobody is running with a D or an R behind their name. But I would say, depending on how you look at it, it's either 3-3 or 4-2 ideologically right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are to an extreme and some are closer to the center where it's hard to call. If I'm fortunate enough to get elected, I don't see a major change.
Okay, so folks, our guest today is Asif Yousef, and we are recording this podcast on the 19th of December, which is the last day for any candidate to file for the upcoming municipal elections in April of next year. So if you have any questions that you would like us to have Asif answer in a follow-up, feel free to send us an email by going to the website. You have a form there that you can fill up to have any questions from our guests. And we can definitely get back to you with some follow-up answers and maybe another segment after the election is over. And on that note, Asif, what keeps you up at night?
You know, I'm blessed. I sleep pretty good at night. As a parent, you always worry about your kids, even if they don't give you any reason to worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed. I've got good kids. But you worry about what you can change. You don't worry about things that are out of your hands.
Right. So when you say that you worry about things that you can change, what would you like to see different in an Asif Yousef administration for the village of Oak Brook?
More transparency, more openness, more willingness to listen to other viewpoints and work collaboratively. We had a situation where there was a disagreement with our Chamber of Commerce over a new business license, which I opposed, or a business registry rather. Due to that disagreement and a verbal altercation between one of their people and one of my colleagues, the village had no interaction with the chamber for over 9 months. No attending Economic Development Council meetings, nothing.
Hmm.
And that can't be allowed to happen. You have to work collaboratively with people, even if they're people you disagree with. You find common ground where you find it, and you move forward. Oak Brook has traditionally leaned Republican over the years. If you look at the voting results within the village of Oak Brook, you'll see that it probably leans about 70-30. However, with the new map, Chris Welch now represents, who's the Speaker of the House, about a third of the village, along with Senator Kim Lightford. And you have to work with the people that are there, and you have to identify common ground where you can. And you have to work collaboratively. And I'm open to doing that, I think more so than the current administration and more so than any other potential successor.
On that note, folks, we will wind up the Turning Point podcast for this segment. Our guest is Asif Yousef, current trustee of the village of Oak Brook, running for mayor of Oak Brook in the upcoming municipal elections in April 2023. Asif, thank you very much for participating in the Turning Point podcast, and all the best to you. If there's anything that you need to ever share with our audience, feel free to reach out, and we'll do a follow-up segment after the elections are over.
Asif, I just have to thank you so much. It's very refreshing to see a candidate who has a bigger picture on where they're coming from. I've voted on both sides of the aisle. I'm not partisan by any means, but I do appreciate where your goals are, and I wish you the best of luck in your upcoming election. And again, thank you so much. Now, for everyone else, if you have somebody that is of interest, political or otherwise, leave us a voicemail at 312-866-7174. Or, of course, you can always get us on our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. And until next time, take care, all.
Thank you. It's been a privilege to be with you for this time and to share my views.